Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 3, verses 20 through 24. The Reverend Michael Meyer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And here we recall the word of God. A woman knelt in the garden and wept. And she was inconsolable. There was no redemption for what she had just experienced. Death would reign over everything still. There would be no change in that as far as she could see. Until her Lord called to her from the garden and said, "Woman, why do you weep?" And she said, thinking him the gardener, "If you have taken him, please tell me where you've taken him, and I'll take charge of the body." And then he called her by her name, Mary. She realized who it was. "Rabboni," he said, "don't hold on to me, Mary, for I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The parallel, I'm certain, was John's own plan and the Lord's own plan, which John spoke about to us. As Mary, now the daughter how many generations removed, grieved over the same thing that had happened ever since Eve. And as she no longer had a place in that garden, neither did Mary, but for the opposite reason. You see, there was never anybody more guilty in all the history of the world than Mary. There was no one, I'm sorry, than Eve. There was no one ever more forsaken in all the world than Eve. She had sinned against God and the only other person on the face of the earth, the one that she was made to be one flesh with, had forsaken her and rejected her. And it's important to remember that as the Lord came to Adam and said, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" He said, "The woman you gave me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate." Fully knowing that not only was he accusing the Lord his God of sin by giving this woman to him, but that the penalty was death, and if he could get out of dying by making her die in his place, he would do it. "The woman you gave me," she had no one left, no one to turn to. She was completely out of excuses. The Lord knew what she had done. She was completely out of places to turn. Where could she go? She tried blaming the serpent, but of course, what good is that? I don't know if you have ever been locked away and caught in the guilt of your sin. If there was something which was so widely revealed and known that you weren't sure that you could show your face at all, If you've ever really had to reckon with what it means, and this first and greatest sin of all had locked her away, and there was no recourse. She had heard the word of the Lord. On the day in which you eat it, you will surely die. She had repeated those words. She knew where they would be. There was no place to turn for her. Except in verse 16, God made her a promise that there would be a redeemer. They knew that. Anytime in Scripture you see a name given, you probably don't understand the passage if you don't understand the meaning of the name. And if you see somebody's name changed, then you really need to do whatever you can to understand the meaning of that name change so that you can get to what the Lord is actually communicating in this, because names are vitally important to Him. He uses His own name over and over again. Call upon the name of the Lord, and He gives us at least 100 names that He can use during the course of the Scripture so that we can know what to call on Him, know how to pray, and so on. And as you read through the Bible, you find out that the names are so vitally important that God will call children 13 and 14 generations removed by the name of their forefather, because they're part of the family and part of the promise that He's made. She was Chai, living. There was hope for her, for Mary, and for all the descendants, because God had promised that He would bear their sins. That a guilt so profound that all of the world who dared to be even minutely faithful would know her name as the great archetype of sin, would also know her great redemption. And a promise bigger than all the sin in the world. Bigger than that sin which caused all the death in the world. To all the evil. To all the pain. To all the struggling. Greater than the sin that caused the Lord to cry out, "What have you done? Do you know what you've done?" Was the redemption which caused Him to cry out, "It is finished." And to give Mary, who knelt in the garden, and all of us who trust His redemption, a path back to His Father and our Father, to His God and our God. The first death that would ever occur is the death of the animal whose skin would clothe them. The first sacrifice for sin, a covering for their nakedness, a covering for their sorrow, a covering and a redemption. They would be bought back for the moment. But the life that they had been spared for was not the life that God had made them for. And so He forbid them to eat from the tree of life and live forever as they were, fallen and broken, struggling and hopeless, born to die, born to give birth to children who would die. He would give them a greater life, a life that Mary would give witness to as she ran to the disciples and said, "He's alive! Death no longer rules over us!" A life which can only be known by the author of life, who gives all life and rescues His people. This Advent, 2 weeks in now, we look for the return of that author of life, who who will come again in glory to redeem us who are left in this broken world as we wander east of Eden. Being born into sin and giving birth to those who are locked in sin, struggling on a daily basis with those things that we wish we wouldn't do, and even taking pleasure in those things which will destroy us. But as Mary found hope in the garden as she wept, so before this cross and his resurrection we find hope. And in his coming again, we will have life beyond that which we see, better than an Eden restored, a new heaven and a new earth which is before his throne in his kingdom, where eternal life is a blessing and a gift of him who gave his life that we might have it. In Jesus' name, amen.